Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, June 4th, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is the update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. I'm about a week behind. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, May 28th went very well. We had a large turnout, 7 ladies. Donna, who will be 100 years old this December. Sola mom, what's your mom? 97. Greatest line I ever heard. Mother's Day. Saul went in and said, "Happy Mother's Day." She goes, "How old am I?" That's great. Thing is, I say that when Debbie says, "Happy Father's Day." How old am I? Donna, who will be 100 years old this December, apologized for missing last week. What a sweetheart. Pastor Olson begins with a review of the previous lesson, so Donna and others benefited from his review of the teaching about walking by faith and using the eyes of our soul. We listened to the first half of lesson number 12 in the Heaven Special. In this lesson, Pastor Olson taught from 7 different passages in the New Testament to answer the question, what are the characteristics of the spiritual walk? After the closing prayer, each lady received a list of the verses the pastor will refer to next week when he teaches about our resurrection and our resurrection body. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas As always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Second Corinthians chapter 7, the last two verses, verse 9 and verse 10, two great verses on the doctrine of repentance. And we studied the doctrine of repentance in detail. Verses 9 and 10 sounds like this in a corrected translation. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and soul sorrow according to the will of God. Now that is powerful, according to the will of God. And it's used in verse 9. That prepositional phrase is used in verse 10. And we're going to see it used a third time when we get to verse 11. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us, Paul and his team. Verse 10. For the soul pain that is according to the will of God, there's the second use of this phrase, produces true repentance. True repentance without regret that results in deliverance from maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, that produces and results in death, the sin unto death. Now we come to verse 11, and in verse 11 we have the results of the true repentance of the believers in Corinth. Verse 11, it starts out, for behold, this very same thing, and in the King James, they did a terrible job translating according to the will of God, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. But you know now we've had it twice, verse 9, verse 10, now we have it in verse 11. We have the post-positive conjunction gar with the demonstrative particle edu, plus the nominative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, with the nominative singular neuter intensive pronoun autos. So we have a demonstrative pronoun combined with the intensive pronoun, plus the prepositional phrase, and here it is for the third time, kata plus the accusative singular of theos, and the aorist passive infinitive of lupeo. The postpositive conjunction gar. Now these conjunctions are very, very important and critical, and they are used in a very special way. And here, the post-positive conjunction gar is the illative use of gar, and the illative use introduces a reason. And then we have the demonstrative particle edu. I-D-O-U. Now this is equivalent to the exact equivalent of the Hebrew hine. H-I-N-N-E-H. Correct the direct equivalent. So Edu and Hine are saying the exact same thing. It serves to enliven a narrative. Its purpose is to arouse the attention of the hearers. And Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 371, says, Edu is used in our verse as a call for closer consideration and concentration on what's being taught. And so it may be translated remember or consider, or I like behold. So edu gar, for behold. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun combined with the intensive pronoun. The demonstrative pronoun is houtas. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtas, and the demonstrative pronoun is correctly translated this, but it's combined with the intensive pronoun autos. A-U-T-O-S, it's autos, it isn't autos. Autos. Now, when you combine the demonstrative pronoun houtas with the intensive pronoun autos, then it translated this very thing. This very thing. And it's used to draw attention to a specific certain thing. So it correctly translated, for behold, this very thing. Now, what is this very thing? Ah, well, that's the special phrase we have used for the third time. That is the preposition kata. Kata plus theon, the accusative of theos. Kata plus theos, according to the will of God. So, for behold, what this very thing, this, that is, this according to the will of God, lupeo. And that's also repeated. L-U-P-E long O, lupeo. And lupeo is to suffer soul pain, to suffer sorrow. And so this says, for behold, what this very thing, that is, this according to the will of God, soul pain and sorrow. So this very thing is this according to the will of God's soul pain and sorrow. And then we have, it wrought in you. And this is the aorist middle indicative of kat ergazomai, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Now, kat ergazomai is also the same verb we had in verse 10. Now we have it repeated. Ran out of space. K-A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Kat ergazomai. Now, you have a preposition, kata, prefixed. It's prefixed to the verb ergazomai. And when in the Greek, when you prefix a preposition to a verb, the purpose of doing that is to intensify it, greatly intensifies it. So kader gadzamai, it means to create, to bring about, to produce. And when we prefix that preposition kata to the verb ergadzamai, this adds tremendous intensification, intensifying what it produces. It intensifies now seven things produced in the Corinthian believers as a result of their true repentance. So we're going to study now seven things produced in the Corinthian believers as a result of their true repentance. Corrected translation before we get to the first result. For behold, what this very thing, that is, this according to the will of God, soul pain and sorrow, has produced in you believers in Corinth. It's great. Paul says, this is fantastic. You have changed your thinking. True repentance. And it's, he puts down seven different things here. First result of true repentance, the King James says, what carefulness. This is the accusative singular of the correlative pronoun passos plus the accusative singular of spoude. Passos, P-O-S-O-S. Now you say, well, wait a second. This is an S, and that's an S, but they look totally different. This is the final S. Final S is different than the middle of the word. So, that, yes, that's P-O-S-O-S. We don't do that in English, but they did it in Greek. So we got passos. And passos means how great, how much, what degree, how great, how much, what degree. And then we have spoude. And we've seen this before. S-P-O-U-D, long E, spoude. Now, spoude means eagerness, earnestness, diligence. Translate it all, eagerness, earnestness, diligence. One, this is earnestness, or they are making every effort to make amends for their carnal reversionistic life. They know they've been living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They know they've been living in Satan's cosmic system. They know they're 100% wrong. And so Spoude says they are making every effort, earnestness, diligence, every effort to make amends over their bad decisions living in Satan's cosmic system. Two, they became diligent in true repentance. And that's what Paul is saying. This is so great. You have become diligent. You made every effort to result in true repentance. Third, they became diligent in rebound and diligent in reversion recovery. They made every effort. They rebounded. They admitted they were wrong. They acknowledged their sins to God, back in fellowship, and then they made good decisions to listen to Paul, listen to his teaching, learn it and believe it. And they resulted in making every effort for reversion recovery. That's the first result of true repentance. The second result of true repentance, yea, what clearing of yourselves. And again, King James. Now we're going to have something here. I want you to see that we have a conjunction Allah. And we're going to have it for the rest of this verse, Allah. Now, you hear me say a lot of times, this is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. You translate it, but. Yes, that's true, and many times that's how it's used. But Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 38, tells us sometimes Allah is rhetorically assensive. This is the assensive use of Allah, and it should be translated even. And all the way through here now, in these seven results of true repentance, we're going to have Allah used in the assensive meaning, and every time it should be translated even. Not but, even. So I'm going to tell you that now, and so you'll hear me on result number three, and result Allah, well, you know, even, four, Allah, even, okay, there you go. And then we have apologia. And by the way, this is great. See, I majored in Hebrew, minored in Koine Greek, and I had it for 4 years. And I took all the Hebrew and Greek I could get. And but that was 4 years worth. Then God brought me here, and I graduated in 76. God brought me here in 77. And I have been learning Greek and Hebrew since 1977 in my studies, and I'm always learning new things. And this is, I've never learned this before. I never learned this at Dallas Seminary. This is another thing I've learned, that Allah can be assensive and correctly translated even. I never knew that before, but I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And that's great. And then we got apologia. A-P-O-L-O-G-I-A. Apologia. All right, a couple of things on this word. You can probably see this. Boy, that looks like apology. Well, very good. You get an A, see? So, apologia, number one. It is from our word apologia that we get our English words apology and apologetics. Apology and apologetics comes from apologia. Two, it means in the Greek defense. Defense and vindication. Defense and vindication. Three, it had a technical, it was a legal technical term and used as an action in a court of law. A legal technical term as an action in a court of law. Four, the Corinthians' true repentance is a beautiful defense. Corinthians' true repentance is a beautiful defense. Five, they rebounded. They acknowledged their sin. They know they were making all kinds of sins. They rebounded. They got back in fellowship with God. They fulfilled the mandate to keep on being filled with the Spirit and walk by means of the Spirit. They lived the spiritual life. Sixth, they are eager to vindicate themselves. They are eager to vindicate themselves. All of these things, and when Paul puts these in there, I mean, this is just, remember how many times he said how happy he is? I keep on having happiness. I am happy. I'm happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. Seven, the filling of the Spirit and living the spiritual life is a perfect defense. The filling of the Spirit and living the spiritual life is a perfect defense. So we have corrected translation. Even what defense, vindication of yourselves. That's the second result of true repentance. Now the third result of true repentance. Yay! No, that's what the King James said. Yeah. Yay, what indignation. Again, we have Allah. Well, you know it's not yay, it's not but, it's even. And then we have agonoctasis. Remember this one? No, you don't. This is a hapax legomena. A-G-A-N, long E-K-T, long E-S-I-S. Agonoctasis. All right. This is the hapax legomenon. So this is the only time this term is found in the Word of God. It's not found in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, but it is found in other Greek versions of the Old Testament. However, it was used by Greek writers before the Christian era. And Moulton and Milligan notes that our word agonoctasis was used where certain offenders are threatened with legal proceedings and penalties. So agonoctasis used where certain offenders are threatened with legal proceedings and penalties. One, agonoctasis comes from the verb agonocteo. Now I see here that I got a little bit of agonoctasis. I know you caught that right away. Agonoctasis. It comes from the verb agonocteo. A-G-A-N-A-K-T-E long O. Agonocteo. And that verb agonocteo means to be aroused, to be indignant, to be angry. To be aroused, to be indignant, to be angry. That's the verb. Therefore, point two, our noun, agonoctasis, means indignation. Indignation. Arousal. Indignation. Three, as a result of their true repentance, according to the will of God. As a result of their true repentance, the believers in Corinth have changed their mental attitude. They've changed their mental attitude. They were making bad decisions, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, and they were just going, well, all the way, many of them died the sin unto death. Many of them died the sin unto death. And they were even coming to the Lord's table out of fellowship and dying the sin unto death. But he says here, as a result of their true repentance, the believers in Corinth have a change of mental attitude. For they have a new attitude toward the things that they committed in Satan's cosmic system and under the old sin nature with its lust patterns. They have a new mental attitude toward the things that they committed, bad decisions they made to live in Satan's cosmic system, bad decisions they made to live by the lust patterns of their sin nature. That's all changed. Five, they have a complete new mental attitude toward the bad decisions and the sins that they have committed, but have now acknowledged to God in rebound. They have a complete new mental attitude toward their bad decisions, their sins that they have committed. They have now acknowledged those sins to God. They're back in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit and the spiritual life, and that's where they want to be. Six, they know that they were totally wrong. They know they were totally wrong. And they know they were totally out of line. That's what this word is saying. They know that they were totally wrong. They know they were totally out of line. Seven, their indignation is toward their bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of the sin nature and to live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. That's their indignation. Their indignation is toward their own bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of the sin nature and to live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So the corrected translation, even indignation toward their bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of the sin nature and in Satan's cosmic system. That's result number three of their true repentance. The fourth result of their true repentance, number four, the King James says, yea, what fear? And this Allah, this is Allah again, now you know, a sensitive use of Allah even, plus the accusative singular of the noun phobos. Now we've had this in our other classes, and you ought to be pretty well tuned in on this one now. P-H-O-B-O-S, phobos. We get phobia from it. And it's used in a very bad way, and it's used in a wonderful, great way. In a bad way, it refers to the mental attitude sin of fear, and we studied that in great detail. However, in our verse, it's used in its good sense, and that is a virtue. That is fearing God. Now, that phrase, to fear God, there is category one fear of God, and that's the beginning of wisdom. That's humility. That's the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. That has to come first. You will never have category two fear of the Lord. You'll never have occupation with Jesus Christ. You will never have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart if you don't have humility. Category one fear of the Lord. Category one fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's humility. That means you have respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the communicator of the Word of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. And the result of true repentance for the believers in Corinth is that they have humility. They now have the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, humility. And that means, for the first time, they have total respect for spiritual authority. For the first time, the believers in Corinth have total respect for spiritual authority. And because they have that total respect for spiritual authority, they are now going to have category two fear of the Lord. That is occupation with Jesus Christ. The completion of wisdom. They will have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. So we have even fear. And this is fear of the Lord, fear of God. Category one, fear of the Lord, humility, the foundational virtue, the beginning of wisdom, resulting in category two, fear of the Lord, completion of wisdom. The fifth result of true repentance, the King James says, yea, what vehement desire. What vehement desire. Once again, we have Allah, plus this time the accusative singular of epipothesis. Allah, now you know, it means even. And then epipothesis. That's how it looks in the Greek. E-P-I-P-O-T-H. Long E-S-I-S, epipothesis. Now this is the same term that we had back in verse 7. Epipothesis is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul. Both times Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7, 7 and 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. The only two times. Epipothesis is not found in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, and it is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. So, one, epipothesis comes from the verb epipotheo. E-P-I-P-O-T-H-E long O. Epipotheo. And epipotheo means to long for something, to desire something. To long for something, to desire something. A strong desire. To this verb, epipotheo. Epipothesis is only used in 2 Corinthians 7, 7 and 11. But The verb epipotheo is used by Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. And you probably, Rich, this has been in the heaven special too, since it's in the section on the resurrection body. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. Now we know that if the earthly tent, and the earthly tent is your physical body, we're living in a tent right now, very, very temporary, that if the earthly tent, our physical body we live in, is destroyed, that's physical death, and most of us will die physical death, although there will be one generation that will not die physical death, that's the rapture generation. And who knows? We may be in the rapture generation. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, epipotheoing, longing, desiring to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, our resurrection body. And I can't tell you how I groan literally. While I'm standing up here, I long for my resurrection body. Desire my resurrection body. I know I could, and you, all kinds of people, oh, go ahead and get your knees replaced. Many of you have got your knees replaced. Sometimes that works all right, and sometimes that works temporarily, and then you're in trouble again. So, right now, the more that I have a bad case of measles, the more my knees hurt, the more I long for my resurrection body. Epipotheo. 3. Therefore, epipothesis means strong desire, strong desire, longing. Four, the result of true repentance for the believers in Corinth is that now they have a strong desire for Bible doctrine. Now they have a strong desire for Bible doctrine. They maligned Paul, judged Paul, didn't listen to Paul. They thought Paul was, all he did was chew them out and chew them out and chew them out. They never appreciated Paul's tough love for them because Paul didn't want to see them die the sin unto death. And they were dropping like flies all around. So the result of true repentance for the believers in Corinth is that now they have a strong desire for the Word of God, Bible doctrine. 5. Now they have intense longing, an intense desire for Paul to teach them the grace and the truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. That's the fifth result of their true repentance. Seven results of their true repentance. This is number 5. Now they have intense longing and desire for Paul to teach them the grace and the truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. Even an intense longing and desire for Bible doctrine. Now the sixth result of true repentance And you notice the King James always takes Allah. Yay! What zeal! We have the conjunction Allah, meaning even, and the accusative singular of zelos. Z, long E-L-O-S. Zelos. That would be a good wordle word. See, we might try it. Zelos. It'll just shake. Zelos. One, the noun zelos comes from the verb zelao. Z-E-L-O, long O, zelao. And zelao means to be eager, to be earnest, to exert oneself earnestly, to manifest tremendous zeal. To be eager, to be earnest, to exert oneself earnestly, to manifest tremendous zeal. Two, therefore, zelos means zeal and ardor. Ardor and zeal. Three, the result of true repentance is tremendous zeal to live the spiritual life that God's provided for us in the church age. Tremendous zeal now to live this unique spiritual life and get maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts. Even tremendous zeal to live the spiritual life. And then the seventh result of true repentance, yea, what full punishment. Once again, Allah, ascensive meaning, even, and ek dikasis. E-K-D-I-K, long E-S-I-S, ek dikasis. Now this comes, let's get a couple of points. One, ekdikasis comes from the verb ekdikeo. Comes from ekdikeo. E-K-D-I-K-E, long O. Ekdikeo. And ekdikeo means to avenge someone, to procure justice for someone, to avenge someone, to procure justice for someone. Two, therefore, ekdikasis means avenging the wrongs they have done, punishment for their wrongs, their sins. Means avenging the wrongs they have done, punishment for their wrongs, sins. Three, the result of true repentance is the avenging of wrongs, bad decisions, sins, through rebound and reversion recovery. And again, this is talking about their reversion recovery. Rebound and reversion recovery. Four, now, divine viewpoint. Now, metabolized doctrine in their heart. Epinosis doctrine in their heart. Through grace perspicacity, gnosis has become epinosis in their heart. Now they're developing wisdom. Now, through the filling of the Spirit, they can apply the Word of God accurately to their situations and their life. So divine viewpoint, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, that now has replaced all of their carnal reversionistic life, all of their sins and evil and wrong. It's been replaced now by divine viewpoint. So that is even avenging of wrongs. How? By having divine viewpoint, epinosis doctrine, grace perspicacity, metabolized doctrine in their heart. That has replaced their carnal reversionistic life and thinking. And then we have in all things, you have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. And this is the prepositional phrase, en plus the dative of pas, plus the aorist active indicative of soon iste me, plus the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu, plus the present active infinitive of the to-be verb eimi, with the accusative plural of hagnos, plus the dative singular pragma with the definite article. All right. Arnton Gingrich tells us on page 638 that the preposition en plus the dative of pas. We got en plus pas. ENPAS. Arnton Gingrich, page 638, tells us that in our verse, the adjective pas is used as a substantive. It's used as a noun. And therefore, it is correctly translated in every respect or in every way or in everything. And that's how we'll translate. In everything. And then we have soon iste me. S-U-N, that's the preposition soon with. That's been prefixed to the verb histe me. Oop, what am I writing in Greek for? I-S. T, long E, M, I. Soon iste me. Compound word, preposition soon with, histe me to stand. So one, soon histe me may be used as a transitive verb or as an intransitive verb. It's used both ways in the Koine Greek. Two, as an intransitive verb, soon iste me means to stand with someone, to be composed, compounded, consist of something, to continue, to endure, to exist. All of that is when it's in the intransitive. That means there's no direct object. Three, as a transitive verb, which is how it's used in our verse, soon iste me means to bring together, to unite, to collect, to bring together, to unite, to collect, to present, to introduce, to recommend, to demonstrate, to show, to bring something out. And four, in our verse, sunhistemi means to demonstrate. And with that verb, we have the reflexive pronoun heautu. What are they demonstrating? Themselves. H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautu. Heautu, you are demonstrate yourself. And then the infinitive of the to-be verb, eimi, demonstrate yourselves to be, and then the adjective hognos, not hognos, hognos. H-A-G-N-O-S, hognos. And hognos means innocent, blameless. Innocent and blameless. And then the noun pragma. P-R-A-G-M-A, pragma. And pragma means, it can mean a deed, a thing, event, occurrence, or matter. Here, the matter. In our verse, it means blameless or innocent in the matter. So in everything, Paul is saying, this is after the seven results of their true repentance. You've had true repentance, verses 9 and 10. Seven results of that true repentance. He went through this. And then he concludes, in everything, you have demonstrated yourself to be innocent, blameless in the matter. So, I mean, Paul, this is just the greatest thing ever, how the believers in Corinth have turned around. So one, as a result of their true repentance, rebound and reversion recovery, they have demonstrated themselves now to be blameless in the matter. As a result of their true repentance, rebound and reversion recovery, they have demonstrated themselves now to be blameless in the matter. Two, they don't hate Paul any longer. They don't hate him anymore. They've stopped all of their maligning and judging and slandering. Now they have maximum respect, total respect for the spiritual authority of God, the Word of God, and Paul as the communicator of the Word of God. So they don't hate Paul any longer. Now they have total respect for spiritual authority, for the authority of the Apostle Paul as a communicator of the Word of God. Three, now they have an intense desire to get a maximum amount of the Word of God in their hearts. Grace perspicacity. Now they have an intensive desire to get a maximum amount of the Word of God in their hearts. Epinosis doctrine winds up in the heart. Gnosis doctrine winds up in the nous, the mind. And you understand because God the Holy Spirit in grace perspicacity takes the logos, the Word of God taught eisegetically, categorically, exegetically by the pastor teacher. The Holy Spirit takes that logos and teaches your human spirit, so it's now pneumatica, spiritual phenomena that goes right down into the nous, the mind, and it's gnosis doctrine. You understand. Pastor Olson, I understand what you're teaching. And now you got a choice. Now your volition goes into function. You can believe it or reject it. And when you believe it, God the Holy Spirit takes that positive volition, faith, and takes that gnosis doctrine and puts it in the heart. The target for the Word of God is your heart, not here, here. The moment you express positive volition, faith in the Word, God the Holy Spirit takes that, puts that gnosis doctrine, it now becomes epinosis doctrine, completed doctrine, full knowledge in your heart. That's the target. The target for the Word of God is your cardia, the heart. Epinosis doctrine, the heart. So now they have an intense desire to get a maximum amount of the Word of God in their cardia, in their heart. For now they know that Paul is teaching exactly what they need. The grace and the truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Now they know that Paul is teaching exactly what they need. The grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. 5. Now they are eagerly looking forward to Paul coming back and teaching them these magnificent doctrines of God's Word face to face. Now they are eagerly looking forward to Paul coming back and teaching them these magnificent doctrines of God's Word face to face. All right. So we had true repentance compared with false repentance, verses 9 and 10. And then verse 11, 7 results of true repentance. And all of these resulted in the Apostle Paul being happy. This made him happy. 7 magnificent results of true repentance in their heart. All right. Well, we'll take it up. We did pretty good. We will take it up at verse 12 next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.